make no mistake about it, those women that the early church sought to destroy were the vestiges of the pagan tradition that held forth the connection of the individual with the divinity of the sky and the divinity of the rocks and the divinity of the rivers. The destruction of the so-called witches, which actually means wise women, was the beginning, by the way, of the rush towards environmental degradation. Anytime any institution seeks to control people, it must suppress the passionate, free-thinking woman.
That's popular New Age teacher Marianne Williamson, keynote speaker at a Sacred Circles Women's Spirituality Conference 2005, just a couple weeks ago at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., talking about, well, the suppression of the divine feminine. We're going to be talking about New Age teachings and practices. Marianne Williamson is a popular New Age teacher nowadays. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Craig Hawkins is our guest this evening to talk about New Age teachings and practices. To what degree is the New Age, in many ways, even asserted by its proponents, to be the Old Age, just a rehash in modern form and sometimes postmodern form of old paganism? We'll talk about that. The New Age view of Christ, of God, of man, the fall, the cross, everything during this hour of Issues, etc. We will take your questions and your comments for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. If you prefer email, we have it open for you, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest, Craig Hawkins, is a regular guest. He's president of Apologetics Information Ministry based in Santa Ana, California. He is a former co-host of the Bible Answer Man program and author of the books Witchcraft, Exploring the World of Wicca, and Goddess Worship, Witchcraft, and Neo-Paganism. Craig, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, great to be with you again. Good evening.
Let's start with the central and the most important point we could talk about in relationship to the New Age movement tonight, and that is the Christ of the New Age movement. Who is he?
Well, Todd, there's various views in the New Age movement, and maybe I just need to give this prefatory comment, and you are right, it is the quintessential question, no doubt about it, who is Jesus? But since the New Age movement is an eclectic, decentralized movement, they do have some commonalities and viewpoints and beliefs and practices, but since there's not one headquarters in Brooklyn or Salt Lake City or somewhere else, we can't give an answer that will say every New Ager holds to this, but there are some general ideas. So some of the ambiguity for my answers will be not because I'm trying to skate around the question, but because in order to be accurate and fair to these folks, that I have to sometimes say that there's a lot of latitude of belief and viewpoint. But in whole, what we generally find is the idea that Jesus is not the Christ, that is with a definite article, but he is a Christ. He is a way shower. And basically what it would say, but contra, by the way, of course, 1 John, is that he is, again, not the Christ, he's a Christ, and he was an individual who manifested, for example, the Christ consciousness. Now, there's various terms, but that's certainly one of them that's very popular. He was a man, an individual who developed the Christ consciousness, who realized or developed his divinity. And so he's not the way, he's the way shower. And they'd say he's not the door, but he shows you the door. He shows you in the New Age movement, allegedly, how one can realize and or develop their own alleged Christ consciousness, their own divine abilities and potentials. So who is Jesus? He's not the only way of salvation. He is, to use a Hindu term, he's an avatar. He's one of a bazillion incarnations. Or he's an individual who realized Satori, or whatever term one wants to use, realized enlightenment, the Christ consciousness, and now is allegedly will come to us through various means and modes and methods to show us that we too have the same divine nature and can realize the so-called Christ consciousness.
Now, I'm glad that you have the caveat at the beginning that we're talking about a broad decentralized movement, and we could hardly, while we will have to generalize, we can hardly say that every devotee of the New Age movement holds to the same views we're going to describe tonight. Is it safe to say, however, that generally speaking, in the New Age movement, there is a welcome place for this view of Christ? He is not excluded. Many New Agers speak glowingly of Jesus in those terms.
Yes, exactly. They speak glowingly of Jesus as they've re-described him, yes.
Let's get some names. We heard from one, Marianne Williamson, a popular New Age teacher. Who else, what other names will we recognize and the kind of practices we're going to talk about?
Oh, yeah, there's a plethora out there. And names and some movements, there's various groups you still have. Let me just mention a couple groups. For example, the Theosophy Society, still out there. The group that Paul Twitchell founded, Ekinkar, still alive and well. The Movement for Spiritual Inner Awareness, John Rogers is another well-known one. Church Universal and Triumphant, another one. Unity School, so-called of Christianity. I think of Deepak Chopra. He doesn't really have a school, but he's very well-known, very popular. His books have sold literally millions of copies, and he's often on Larry King, for example. Now, you mentioned Marianne Williamson, of course. Return to Love is one of her books, but she was, previous to that, was a real proponent of A Course in Miracles, for example, that whole series. The Urantia book, the Urantia movement, I mentioned Church Universal and Triumph, the I Am movement, the Ballards, for example. So Andrew Weil, another medical doctor, many, many folks out there, Dick Sufen, for example, and the list really just goes on and on and on of these individuals. And Andrew Weil, his books have sold just quite a bit. And again, Deepak Chopra, I think his books have sold, I know they sold 8 million, and I think they're even higher than that now.
Again, is it safe to say if you walk into the average Barnes & Noble or Walden Books and you're looking at the religion, spirituality, self-help section, you are likely to find one of these New Age teachers' books next to, say, an accepted Christian author?
Absolutely. I mean, I often joke, but it's all too true. And it's not just out here in the land of fruits, nuts, and flakes in Southern California. I've traveled enough of the United States from the East Coast and Midwest and elsewhere to know that in small-town USA, one will find a plethora of books in the local bookstore, whether it be Dalton's, Walden's, Bertano's, Bookstar, Barnes & Noble. Take your pick. And Todd, they're not just in the New Age or the occult section. You'll often find in a bookstore, you'll find that the New Age and or slash occult section. And there you would expect to find them. But I find it intriguing that I go to the health section, and there I find books in that section and the health section. And I say, oh, boy. So I go to the psychology section, and I find plenty of the books there in the psychology section. You think, where is one safe? I'll go to philosophy. Surely one's safe there. One goes to philosophy, and one finds Cahel Gibran or how to use rune stones or tarot cards, even in the philosophy section, literally. I think, well, I'll just go to the religion section or lastly, the section on Christianity. And as you pointed out, you'll find a lot of these books right in the Christian section. And so one cannot be too careful in what they read. And to verify this, one doesn't need to take my word for it. Just check out your local bookstore, and you'll see what I'm saying.
What is the New Age view of man?
Again, there's going to be the caveat, as you pointed out, there are some slight variations, but the basic theme is that humans are basically good. We're basically good. Our biggest problem, our biggest hang-up is we don't realize who we are. Well, who are we according to the New Age? And there's two major views here. One is that we're not divine, but we are potentially so. Within us is that so-called spark of divinity. And then in the New Age movement, the goal is to fan this into flame, is to bring this out, to evoke this, develop this divine nature. And the other view is, no, you already are divine. Your problem is you just don't realize it. A Course in Miracles is a classic case of that three-volume set, which, again, Marianne Williamson was heavily involved in for a number of years and still heavily influenced by it. The idea that you are divine. Your problem, like Scientology, you just don't realize it. That's your problem. Your hang-up is the belief that you're not divine and that there is even such a thing as evil or sin. The problem, interestingly, ironically, in light of the biblical worldview, the problem is not sin, it's the belief in sin, that you even think you're sinful. That's so, often the case, the view.
So very quickly, before we go to the break, if man's essential problem is ignorance or wrong belief about his own nature, say that he's sinful and estranged from God, what would be the general solution offered by the New Age movement to man's problem?
Meditation and for other forms of other states of consciousness to realize experientially one's alleged unity with the divine.
So in other words, my problem is I'm either potentially divine and need to get there so I can meditate and reach that potential, or I am really divine and just don't know it. In any case, the solution is the same. Go deeper within myself to find out who I really am.
Exactly. The idea is the problem's not within, the answer's within. The Bible says just the opposite. But exactly, through these altered states of conscious experience, one's allegedly going to see the problem and the solution, and you are the solution, allegedly.
With less than a minute, what does Scripture say is man's real problem and the real solution?
Just a complete opposite, 180 degrees opposite. No, indeed, the problem is we think too highly of ourselves, that we are made in God's image, but we think we're divine or want to be so, want to act as if we are God, if not literally believe we are God. Our problem is a radical autonomy, that we basically want to tell God to take a flying leap, and we want to save ourselves. We want to make ourselves right with God, or indeed vaunt ourselves up and say we are equal with God. It's the exact opposite of what the New Age says.
And the solution with 15 seconds?
It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, believing that he is indeed the way and trusting him as one's Lord and Savior, which just simply means he died for my sins, he died in my place and rose again for my justification.
Craig Hawkins is our guest. We're talking about New Age teachings and practices. When we come back, we've got the view of man under our belts. What about God? Who is God according to the New Age movement? Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Proponents of the New Age movement are welcome to call as well, 1-800-730-2727.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. Some people to thank here. William in Middletown, Wisconsin. Randy and Jennifer in Hazel Park, Michigan. Mike in Strasburg, Illinois. Christian in Blair, Nebraska. And Lori in Morgan Hill, California. All joined our monthly donor program this past week. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Thanks to each and every one of you and everyone who's joined the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Our goal is by Easter this year to have 125 members of the Reformation Club. We are currently at 113, so we're well on our way. There are all kinds of benefits of becoming a confessor, an apologist, a reformer, monthly premiums like tapes and books and transcripts. To find out more about our Reformation Club and those benefits, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Luther posting the 95 Theses right there on the homepage. Click on that, you'll find the information, issuesetc.org. Now, you can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card. Our resource line number, always open, ready to take your call, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also join by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or you can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Help us defend the faith and teach the truth by joining the Reformation Club this week. Craig Hawkins is our guest. We're talking about New Age teachings and practices. Craig, it sounds Christian sometimes. That bite we heard at the open of the program from Marianne Williamson, I had to search long and hard to find that in the course of her 40-minute address, because a lot of what she was talking about sounded very Christian. She talked about grace and forgiveness and even repentance. And then all of a sudden she's talking about the Goddess Mother and the Goddess Father. And someone who listens might well miss that and think that they're listening to someone who is Christian. Does this account for part of the popularity of the New Age movement, even among Christians?
Sure, Todd. That's a good point. I think there's a number of reasons it's popular, and it continues to be. The New Age movement has really kind of evolved since the late 60s, early 70s, and certainly it was going strong at the latest by the mid-70s, if not earlier. But there's still some core values, dare I say that, some core beliefs that they hold, and I think you've put your finger on some of those. And in addition to that, I mean, there's a lot of Christian terminology. Really, the word, though, today is spirituality. Spirituality is in. Religion's kind of often has a negative connotation, but spirituality is in. So people who are spiritual are kind of cool today. And there's many appeals, I think, on many levels, spiritually, emotionally, and otherwise. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, it's pretty heady stuff to think you're divine or potentially so. I mean, I've been trying to convince my wife of that for years now, and she's not buying it, but it's, you know, if I could get her to do that, it'd be pretty good at home, I tell you. But seriously, think of it, really. I mean, it really appeals to our pride in the basis sense, the idea that I'm divine and have unlimited potential and ability. The only thing limiting me is me and my narrow view of things. And think of, segueing there, think of my second point, think of how this would help you in your business and life and every area, relationships. If you stop and say, my problems are only my own limitations. That's my only problem. I've just not believed in myself enough. And if I would believe in myself more, I could have unlimited success in business, with my family, with my recreation, whatever I do. So at many, many levels, even the ecological side, I'm not saying everyone involved in ecology is a New Ager, but certainly many are attracted to that, and because they think that nature is divine or potentially so. They see people pillaging aspects of nature and of God's creation, and so they say, boy, these guys have an appreciation of nature, and there's a real appeal there. So, Todd, it appeals at many levels, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And there is, we in the church, we kid ourselves, and we think there's not a real attraction and a reason why people, wrongly, but nonetheless, why people get involved in the New Age movement. And you, as you pointed out, but often use Christian terminology. I mean, if I give a quick example here, let's say I'm talking to somebody involved in Unity Christianity, so-called, founded by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And we're talking, and I'm talking to the person, and to me, I'm talking about the need for repentance and an atonement and that. And they're going, well, that's what I believe. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I heard that show with Wilkinson and Hawkins, and they said you guys don't believe this. And, oh, see, these people just don't know what they're talking about. Well, of course we believe in the atonement. And you think, well, see, there you go. And Christians who don't know better, who are not really taught doctrine and given the definitions and distinctions, they think, well, they use the words I use. They talk about Jesus. They talk about salvation. They talk about atonement, even, and repentance. But if we'd open up the so-called Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, which is the major work used in Unity School of Christianity, Todd, we'd see that they would define the word atonement as they use it, and they'd hyphenate it at one mit, and it would basically tell you atonement really means at one mit, and that is one realizes one's alleged or divine nature. And so that's why it's so important. That's number one. That's why Christians, gullible, naive Christians so often fall into this stuff, and that's number two why it's so important that we as Christians really know what we believe and why, and not just use terms, but define them, explain them, expound upon them so that people really understand them.
Christians understand from God's Word that God is one and three distinct persons, one Godhead, distinct from His creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who is the God of the New Age movement?
Again, variously defined, but God is often, not always, but often seen as an impersonal power or force. It's kind of like the Force in Star Wars. And literally you have the idea of the two sides of the dualistic nature of the deity, the so-called light and the so-called dark side. And both of them are seen actually as ultimately good. Both are necessary for life. But God is often perceived as an impersonal. And if I'll use some vocabulary, but I promise I'll define my terms. The New Age movement is basically monistic. Greek, that comes from the Greek word monos, one alone or only. The idea here is God is one. God has one nature, God is one. Now, what you have to ask what that is, and we use another term, pantheism. And that comes from two Greek words, basically meaning all is God. All is God, God is all. So with that, we see the nature of God, that God is often seen as impersonal, at least in its ultimate sense, you and I are present personal, emanations of God, but nonetheless, all is God, God is all. And again, and then that turns in, of course, back into the salvation issue and the question of who is Jesus as well.
It sounds, we heard from Marianne Williamson, as though some New Agers want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to at least ostensibly embrace the Christian idea of God or the terminology while mixing it with pagan notions of God. Is that right?
They really do. And something we'd really be remiss if we didn't address related to what you just asked and stated, Todd, is there is the aspect of esotericism here, of the secret, of the hidden, of the occluded. A big part of the New Age movement is this idea of looking for the secret or the deep, hidden meanings. And so they often will use Christian terminology, but it's been redefined. It's just like I mentioned with Unity School of Christianity and Atonement, and so they talk about Jesus and use our terms, but it's been redefined, and it's the idea that Christianity and its ostensible form, its visible form, has really been corrupted. It's just the shell. It's not the real kernel. It's not the core of what was the church. And let me give a very practical, hands-on example. Reincarnation. Not all, but most, certainly many in the New Age movement believe in reincarnation. There's the idea one has accrued negative or positive karma, in this case negative karma, and this has to be worked off in this life or in countless other lives or whatnot. And so they'll often talk about being a Christian and the Bible, and they'll even say that, you know, the Bible originally taught reincarnation. You have books like, look at the popularity of the book The Da Vinci Code. This kind of fits in with that type of mentality. The Bible allegedly has been corrupted. Key teachings and doctrines that they believe, they say, have been expunged from Christianity and the Bible, and they're here to restore them. So they've got the so-called the lost books of the Bible, and they're going to restore those, like the alleged, you know, the Gospel of Thomas or what have you.
Let's talk more about that on the other side of the break. That's intriguing, because this appeal to secret knowledge or lost knowledge is one of the appeals of the New Age movement, and it's practicing. Craig Hawkins, president of Apologetics Information Ministry, is our guest. You can check out their website by going to oursissuesetc.org. Look under the links section, and you'll find a direct link to Craig Hawkins and Apologetics Information Ministry. Our website, issuesetc.org. Joshua is one of the towering figures of the Old Testament, a successor to the prophet Moses, the first of the judges. He leads God's people into and through the promised land. But as great as Joshua is in the Old Testament, does he serve to prefigure someone even greater? Is there a connection between Joshua in the Old Testament and our Savior Jesus Christ in the New? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Joshua, is a Christ-centered and cross-focused reading of this Old Testament book. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find information there on the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Art Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, what makes Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
When you come onto our campus, the first thing you see, the thing that stands out architecturally, is our chapel. It stands at the highest point of our campus, and I think in many ways that is symbolic of what is most important at our seminary. We have a very rich worship life, and that's because our entire theology is centered in the fact that we believe that Christ's presence among us in word and sacrament as we gather together for worship is what forms future pastors into the kinds of caring shepherds that we hope that they can be. That chapel extends into the classroom, and our classes are very rigorous in terms of their academics. But I think what strikes people when they come and visit our campus and see our students and visit our classes is how deeply pastoral our life is here. that our theology isn't just academic, it's real-life theology. We're interested in real life and theology that affects the people of this world who have real lives. The reason I think that, that's at the center of our life is because of the real presence of Christ. We believe in the real life of Christ being present among us. And our entire campus, in a sense, vibrates by that presence that comes out of the chapel in our worship life that it extends in every aspect of our life here. I think you can see that what is perhaps unique about our campus is that it is Christ-centered, and we are a place where people treat each other in a Christ-like way. So it's a campus that is really a delight to have worked in for 20 years and to be a part of, and I think everybody who comes here is always, as our president says, refreshed and renewed by the experience.
Tell us a little more about the worship life on campus there.
What we try to do in our chapel is to help our students come and receive the gifts that are from Christ's presence. We are first and foremost a worshiping community. But we also realize that as a seminary, we are a place that is a teaching chapel. So we are constantly aware of the fact that we are teaching our students about our worship life and modeling it to them and to the people who visit us. And so people who come to our campus always find that when they leave our chapel, that they have been transformed. They have been transformed because Christ has been there.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web, www.ctsfw.edu.
Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on good reasons to become a pastor.
Before I went to the seminary, I worked in business for a number of years, and I enjoyed very much what I was doing, but I realized that the aspects of my jobs that I appreciated the most certainly were the opportunities to be helpful and encouraging and supportive of the people who worked with me. And it was quite clear to me, without any question, that the way I could be most helpful to them was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, their Savior. And I realized that if I became a pastor, that would be what I'd do all the time, and I would never be restricted in any way in what I could say. The help that I could bring to people that I cared about would be the help that was not just for today or tomorrow, but eternal.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
Take up the great work of the Divine Mother. We are here about our father's and our mother's business. May this weekend be our amniotic fluid. May this weekend be a time in which the Divine Father and the Divine Mother help us become the women that God intends us to be. May we be who God would have us be. May we then do what God would have us do.
Again, Marianne Williamson, a popular New Age teacher at the Sacred Circles 2005 Women's Conference this last week at the Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. We're talking about New Age teachings and practices. Craig Hawkins is our guest. It's Sunday night, February the 27th. Our call-in numbers, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727 are our call-in numbers. Next week on the program, we're going to discuss the office of the papacy. Dr. Martin Noland of the Concordia Historical Institute will be our guest. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Was Jesus making Peter pope at that moment? How old is the office of the papacy? And will Pope John Paul II go to heaven? We'll answer those questions next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Martin Noland. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of February, just click on the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there at the website, be sure to find out more about Christ Academy 2005 coming up this summer at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a 2-week residential program that allows high school-aged men to experience seminary life. Issuesetc.org. Look for the Christ Academy logo on our homepage. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Craig, we discussed at the outset of our conversation what the New Age movement does with Christ. You said Christ becomes kind of example par excellence of what we can be or what we are but don't know it. What does the New Age movement do with the cross?
That's an offense. Where have I heard that before? But the cross to them is a scandal. It's a scandalous idea. It's seen as medieval, barbaric. The cross and the idea of Jesus literally, well, listen to even Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, but she said basically, if not literal verbatim quote, that the blood of Jesus, when it was spilt on the cursed tree, was no more efficacious to atone for sin than when it was flowing in Emmanuel's veins. That's basically literally a quote. At any rate, they see that it's just barbaric. The cross, there's no need for a cross. This is where they'd say the Bible has been tampered with, has been corrupted, so they say, and we need to get away from this idea. Jesus doesn't come for us to be crucified or be crucified for us, to die for us or in our place. He just simply comes as a martyr. He got martyred, but only because people misunderstood his message and didn't see that he was claiming that we all are divine, and he's, you know, the way shower.
This ties in to what you were saying before the break, that one of the appeals of the New Age movement is its esoteric nature. It claims to be able to reveal or uncover or restore hidden or lost, or sometimes nowadays it's popular to say even suppressed information about Christianity, and in particular, as you mentioned just now, the teachings of Jesus Christ, as though Jesus came and he was really just kind of teaching what Marianne Williamson teaches or Deepak Chopra teaches, but that's what got him killed, and then the church rearranged all his teachings into what we consider today to be Christianity. Yes. Is that a pretty common assertion?
It really is. And again, why? I mean, we don't have to address it, but why? It's pretty heady stuff, the idea. Think of it. You're on the inside track. The masses are confused and deceived. The church is in darkness, but you're one of the few who's got the inside. You're enlightened. I mean, that's even what occultism is, right? The occult is for the adept, for the initiate, who's been introduced to the mysteries, like the mystery religions at the time of Jesus, literally, and Gnosticism. And so it's this idea, you're one of the bright bulbs, you're one of the few who've got the inside track and see it for what it is. So there's a sense of, once again, appeal to one's pride, sense of adventure, and to the Americana can-do spirit. You know, the idea, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps here, at least in America, and we like people who work hard in the Horatio Alger stories, only in this case it's a spiritual Horatio Alger story. And, yeah, the Bible's been tampered with, but we know that we have the key. Our books, our tapes, our materials will give you the key to seeing the hidden, the esoteric meaning of the Bible, and now you'll be enlightened and be like us.
You said something there that also caught my attention, and that is the Americanized version of Eastern religions that we find in the New Age movement in the West, whereas if you look at Buddhism or Hinduism, they are rather bleak in themselves. Are rather bleak religions that really don't promise a lot by way of man's end except absorption into the universe. But the Americanized versions seem to offer more. Tell us about it.
Well, sure. Indeed, if I would have taken a little more time up front and defined the New Age movement, I would have said basically it was not only an eclectic, decentralized, but networked a group of individuals and organizations working to teach and implement in all areas of life. Here we go, an Eastern occultic worldview, but it's with a Western mindset or a Western twist, if I will. You said it well. I mean, in Buddhism, classically, Nirvana is the idea of extinction, the extinction of a flame, all distinctions or illusions, and it's the goal to even escape that. And even the concept of a soul, of an individual ego, is illusionary in most forms of Buddhism. And in Hinduism, indeed, Atman is Brahman. The soul, Atman, is Brahman, is divine. And the idea is all rivers flow to the sea, so all souls shall flow to me. And again, the goal is not to be an individual drop of water, but to merge back with the great body of water, or Brahman, if you will, and no longer have this idea of individuation. But Westerners, we don't like that. You know, here in Southern California, we don't have mass transit because we're too individualistic. I want my own car. And so, related issue, I mentioned reincarnation earlier. In the East, the doctrine really is transmigration. And there, one, and the difference between transmigration and reincarnation, by the way, is this, and it's important and it gets to your question. Transmigration is that I can come back as anything. See, in reincarnation, one always comes back as a human being, higher or lower on the social economic status level, a greater or lesser intelligence or so-called spirituality, but you're always a human. But in transmigration, in Hinduism, and indeed, there's many writings in Buddhism, for example, that the Buddha before his incarnation as a Buddha was a tiger, was a rabbit at one time, was all types of animals, if you will. So, but we don't like that. You know, the idea of come back as a stink bug or something that's going to get squashed as a mosquito, what have you, is not too appealing. So we in the West, we don't like that, number one, coming back as some slimy animal or reptile or what have you. And second of all, we like the idea of my own individual identity. I'm going to be a god, by golly, and I want to know I'm a god. I want to have my own self-reflective identity and be aware that I'm divine. And that idea, as you pointed out, doesn't fly in the East, but we don't accept that in the West.
No, by way of balance here, Craig, often when you listen to Christian radio or watch Christian television, you might get the impression that the New Age movement is everything. I mean, sometimes things get categorized as New Age that are simply kooky conspiracy theories. And in a lot of ways, those conspiracy theories have the same appeal as the New Age. Oh, now I found some secret knowledge, some secret key to understanding the world. It sounds like you're advocating for a more narrow, accurate definition of New Age that wouldn't include all of whatever a lot of Christian media wants to toss
in. No, yeah, exactly. I mean, they certainly have their share of conspiracy theories, like the Bible was tampered with, the doctrine of reincarnation was expunged at the big bad council of Second Council of Constantinople in 553 AD and so forth. But we don't do ourselves any favors, and we don't do these people any favors by misrepresenting their views. And if I could use a brief example here, Todd, to make this point. If I'm talking to a Jehovah Witness, and then I find out that they believe Jesus is Michael, the archangel, the first and greatest of God's creation, that they believe the Holy Spirit is really the active power or the mind of God, not literal, a personal entity, is not the third person of the Trinity. Now, that's a cultic view system. We're not insulting these people. We're not using it as a pejorative or a mean-spirited terminology. These are just a group of individuals who claim to be Christian. Indeed, they claim to be the true Christians or the true or only church, and yet they deny, ironically, the essential Christian doctrines, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, the Trinity, and so forth, and the bodily resurrection. Now, on the other hand, if I'm talking to a Mormon, the Mormon believes Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. The Mormon male hopes to become a god and ascend to the highest level of heaven, according to them, the celestial kingdom, indeed to get the highest of the three levels in that kingdom, and so on and so forth. Now, both of these systems are non-Christian, and people who subscribe to them are, by definition, not Christian. But it would be goofy if the Jehovah's Witness knocks on my door and I call him a Mormon and confuse his doctrines with the Jehovah's Witness. They're both incorrect, but the Mormon's not a Jehovah's Witness, and so forth. And I think my point's hopefully pretty clear. And so we really are doing a horrible job when we intentionally or not misrepresent these people's views. Let's get them straight. As I often tell my students, you need to first get these views straight, then and only then can you disagree with them. I want you at least to understand what they believe first. I didn't say agree. I said understand it. Get it straight. Don't knock over these caricatures or what's called the fallacy of the straw man. Get their views straight. Understand it correctly. And then we can have a civil, intelligent dialogue with them in light of the Word of God.
Folks, if you want to do some more study for yourself, you'll find several resources on New Age teachings and practices post right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find these resources, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, we do have, I think, a single open phone line right now, 1-800-730-2727. And when we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That number again, 1-800-730-2727. Craig Hawkins is our guest. We'll be right back with your phone calls.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
first and foremost is that they have a greater understanding of what it is to be Christian, and more importantly, what it is to be Lutheran in this day and age.
Pastor Scott Clems of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about the goals for the young men who attend Christ Academy 2005.
Christ Academy allows high school men to become a full, equal partner in the life of the seminary for 2 weeks every June. They attend chapel 4 times a day with the student body and faculty and staff. They go to classes for 3 or 4 hours a day, regular classes taught by the seminary faculty and staff. They become tight as a community and join together in prayer and greater understanding of Lutheran theology.
For more information about Christ Academy 2005, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. One of the difficulties of sorting out the Bible in the midst of all the cacophony of voices that are trying to tell us what the Bible is really about is, sometimes even Christian musings on the Bible don't find Christ where he is to be found, in particular in the Old Testament. If you're looking for a commentary on an Old Testament book that finds Christ on every page, that takes seriously what Christ says, you search the Scriptures, therein you believe you will find eternal life. These Scriptures, even the Old Testament, are those that testify of me. You can find out more about our Issues, etc., Book of the Month for February, which is a great commentary on the Book of Joshua, right there at our website, issuesetc.org. You can order the Concordia Commentary on Joshua by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The book's $42.99 plus shipping and handling. Well worth the price. It is compendious, it is definitive, and it is accessible to the layperson and to the scholar as well. 1-800-325-3040. When you call, ask for the Issues, etc., Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, our website, issuesetc.org. That number again, 1-800-325-3040. Tim calls from Leavenworth, Kansas. He listens on KCCV. Tim, you're up first. Welcome to Issues, etc.
Yes, my question is, I was listening on the TV one morning, and there was a minister on there that said that we are little gods. And they said that just like there's a God in heaven, that you are the God on earth. And even though he was proposing to be a Christian minister, he was saying that we were God. And I almost think that he was taking New Age thinking and trying to interpret it with the Bible. And I was really concerned about that. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
Tim, thank you very much. A great question. I think he might be referring perhaps to some of the more popular Word of Faith teachers who do sometimes sound very New Age.
Yeah, Tim, and my example would come up like the Mormon versus the Jehovah's Witness. The Word of Faith movement certainly teaches some aberrant, some heretical doctrines, but they're not really New Age. There are New Age teachers out there like Terry Cole Whitaker or others, Marianne Williamson, but you probably heard someone like either Kenneth Copeland Hagen, or there's a number of clones, a number of individuals, Creflo Dollar, none of these folks teaching this stuff today, and the teaching that we're little gods, and it's a blasphemous doctrine. I shudder every time I hear it, but unfortunately, this is a common teaching within what's called the Word Faith movement. And by the way, there's a great book by Robert Bowman, The Word Faith Controversy. Bob does a great job analyzing this whole movement and dealing with their false views regarding God, and of course the nature of God and salvation and so forth. And so that's probably what you heard, Tim.
Eric is on the line, 1-800-730-2727. Eric from San Francisco, listening on KFAX. Welcome.
Thanks, gentlemen. Years ago, 15 years ago, I had an experience where I was really depressed, and so I picked up A Course in Miracles and started reading through it and meditating through it, and very quickly I started believing that I was a teacher of God, and I wandered off down the coast with my dad's car and nearly destroyed myself, ended up jumping in a motel swimming pool without any clothes on. And I just said that to demonstrate that can have a very powerful destructive effect on people, especially those people who have underlying problems. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you very much, Eric. Craig, kind of underlines the fact that false teaching does in fact hurt people. It's not just something people muse about in their living rooms.
Well sure, at least 2 points here. The Course in Miracles, among other things, what it teaches is that the only sin is the belief in sin. Well, actually, the other sin is that you believe you're separated from God. You are the Son of God. You are divine. And so you believe, number one, you're separated from God. That's, again, a classical New Age teaching. And then the second part of that related to the other is that the only sin or evil is the belief in sin or evil. Well, think about it. If I live like that, I can do anything, Todd. I can do all kinds of things because, after all, evil is only the belief in evil or belief that I'm separated from God, like in Hinduism. So you have, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, where Arjuna is allegedly being counseled by Krishna to rise up and kill people, even fellow family members in this battle in this book, because the only evil really is the belief in evil. And number two, second point related to that is the idea, it encourages spirit contact. A real important part of the Course in Miracles, if Eric could have stayed on, he could testify to, is one needs to contact one's spirit guide, and one does this through altered states of consciousness. To use the terms a little more common, through the occult. Through occultic means and method, one's going to get contacted by their spirit guide, and then the spirit guide's going to start allegedly teaching one and giving them all these key insights and whatnot. And people end up doing things like what Eric's talking about and worse, and with impunity, because after all, look, if I'm God, I can do whatever I want. And if the only evil is a belief in evil, look out. Once you start applying that consistently, you're going to have some big problems.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Herman calls from Illinois. He listens on KSIV. Hi, Herman. Herman, welcome.
I would like to ask Craig Hawkins if he sees that this redefinition of traditional Christian vocabulary and terms with New Age themes is happening in the mainline denominational seminaries and governing and publication venues, and if so, do they feel under pressure to try to compete with this trend?
It's a good question, Herman. Thank you. Craig?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's all too good a question. It's all too true. It's like someone asking me, well, I'll say there's liberal denominations or seminaries, and I'll go, well, which one? And I said, no, it's easier to tell you which ones are conservative. Let's start there first. Years ago, there was a reimagining conference sponsored by a number of denominations, and where they basically were talking about goddess worship and, again, getting in contact with the divine, with the feminine side of God and so forth, very much like what we heard earlier with that clip with Marianne Williamson. This is a very, I can't say it's in every seminary, but it's very prevalent in many denominations and in many seminaries that were at one time very conservative and sound in their theology and orthodox. This is, I can't say it's ubiquitous, but it is very commonplace, and it's increasingly moving that way. And the irony, it's kind of like Jewish individuals practicing the occult, the Kabbalah. I mean, when God forthrightly rejects that and tells them not to do that, for example, in Deuteronomy 18, 9 through about 14, and many other passages. So, Herman, you're unfortunately all too correct. This is a growing movement within Christendom. Now, notice I said Christendom, or what often theologians refer to as the visible church. That is, not so much the actual believers per se, but those who at least claim to be the church. And there are many denominations, the United Churches of Christ, certain aspects of the Presbyterian Church USA, and the Episcopal Church in America, and so forth, where many religious leaders, people who wear the garb, who wear the robe of Christianity, are espousing occultism and views very compatible, indeed often part of the New Age movement. This is not conspiracy. Now, that part is reality.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night, February the 27th. We will continue to take your phone calls on the subject of New Age teachings and practices with Craig Hawkins in the next hour of the program. Our call-in number, call during this break. We've got a few free phone lines, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers in the next hour will receive Ron Rhodes' book called The Counterfeit Christ of the New Age Movement, a good book there itself. 1-800-730-2727. New Age proponents, of course, will get top priority in the list of callers during the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. 2727. You can always email us as well here in the studio. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. And while we'll be primarily taking phone calls in the next hour, we'll also, as time permits, get to that email and the questions therein. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Be sure to tune in live for the next hour of the program on the internet, not on the radio, only on the internet. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click on the Listen Online link, and you can listen to the next hour live. issuesetc.org, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, or the email address issuesetc@kfuo.org. The great danger of the New Age movement is really, and we should know this as Christians, is really that it turns everything on its head. It repeats in many different forms, in many different ways, one essential lie. The lie that really stands at the heart of all lies. It's the lie uttered by the very first and greatest of liars, and believed, sad to say, by our first parents: you will be like God. Well, that lie, once spoken and once believed, brought about the fall of mankind into sin, into death, and into destruction. The only answer to that real problem, the belief in that lie, is the truth in person: Jesus Christ, born of Mary, a son of Adam, begotten of God before all worlds, his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection for us fallen sinners, undoes the lie, forgives our sins, and gives genuine eternal life. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.